We begin the current Dav Maseches Pesachim, Dav Gimel. We begin on the bottom of Dav Beis, and Beis on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Dav. And that is our Masechta began with Ur La'ba Asr. That on the Ur of the 14th of Nisan is when we do the Bedikas Chametz to make sure we're not Oyvan Bal Yerah Bal Yimatz. So there was a Machlikis regarding what is Ur. Is Ur La'ba Asr, is that the night time, the evening of the 14th? In other words, the night before? Or is it in the morning, is it Nigi, is it light? So the Gemara has constantly been asking on both Pshatim if it's night or day. And then there seem to have been conclusive proofs that it's Ur La'ba Asr is the evening, not the day. And the Gemara continues this line of questioning on the Man D'Amar that Ur means the morning and that it's going to seem like it's not Nigi, which was the reference to the morning, but rather Ur La'ba Asr means the evening of the 14th. So the Gemara continues asking, Meisvei Marzutra, Marzutra asks him, we continue on the top of Gimel Med Alf. We have a Mishnah Masechtas Krisis in the first parak that talks about the carbon that's brought for Tumas Leid, and that is when a woman gives birth. There's different time periods for males if they have a girl or a boy. However, after that time period, that's, for example, 80 days after if a woman gives birth to a girl, they have to bring a carbon that's called for Tumas Leid. Now, there the Gemara explains, it says in the Pasuk, Zois Teres HaYiledus, and this is the law for the Yiledus, which the Gemara there darshens to say that it's Torah Achas Lekul, and there's one halacha of all of them, that you bring one carbon for many births. So as long as there's going to be, within a certain amount of time, if you're going to have multiple births, it's all going to be included in one carbon. So the Gemara there in its discussion says that I would have thought that I would bring one carbon even in what's called Lefnei Malois, and even regarding the birth, that's la'achar melois, which means to say melois is the amount of time that has gone by for what's considered that it's times of her tahara, that the woman up until day 80, she's considered that all her damim, all her bloods that come at that time period are considered demei tahara, and it's only after the 80th day when she finishes that time period that then she brings a carbon, and then she becomes normal in regards to all the halachas of tum and tahara. And therefore, I would think to say that we said that the Zois Teres HaYiledus says you bring one carbon, whether it was before day 80 or whether it was after day 80, and that's what the Gemara there says. It says Zois, which is a qualifying that it's a Mamayit, and says that if she gives birth after the Malois, after 80 days, then not, even though she didn't bring her carbon yet. However, that carbon will not be inclusive for the later that happened after that. And that is, as the Gemara there says, that, for example, if let's say she immersed herself after 14 days after she gave birth to a girl, which is the halacha that you have to immerse after 14 days, and then you count up until day 80, which is considered yemei tahara. And then she gets pregnant, and then she miscarries. So if it's within the 80 days that she miscarries, that is what the drush of Zeis Teres HaYiledus is telling us, that she'll be exempt with one carbon, although you have to bring a carbon even though it was a miscarriage. However, since it was within the yemei, there was a yemei malais, it was within that time period, so therefore it's going to be included in one carbon. But if she miscarried after day 80, after that time period of the malais, then she would already be obligated in two carbonas. And that is, she has the one that was before the second birth, and then the one that happened after the malais, after the time period that came for the second birth, she's going to have to bring a second carbon. So that's the basic understanding of the halacha. Regarding, there's a case that's on the border, that's a machlekes, which is what we're quoting now. Hamapelis ur l'shmein ve'echad. If a woman miscarries to the ur of the 81st day, and that is, which the Pasha Pshat is, which we're going to prove, is that if a woman miscarried on the night, the evening of the 81st, in other words, right after day 80, begins the evening of the 81st, where she already passed what's called the malois. She passed the 80 days, but she yet wasn't yet fit to bring the carbon, because carbonas are not slaughtered at nighttime. So it's somewhere here on the twilight zone, because again, as we said, that she has to bring a carbon for her first birth. She has to bring it after day 80. And any miscarriage or quote-unquote birth that would happen within that time period would be included in that same carbon that you have to bring, which is going to come on day 81. And if it's after day 80, then that's not included. You have to bring its own carbon. But here, it's not before and it's not really after. It's on the evening of the 81st, where essentially the malais has passed, so you would think you have to bring two, but maybe it would only have to be one because you still didn't get to the time period, which is the after the malais, which is when you bring the carbon, and you couldn't bring the carbon yet because you can't bring carbons at night. So therefore, we have machlokes beisham bishom. Beisham may poitrim a carbon. Beisham may exempt from being another carbon. They hold that is included in the first carbon. Ubisil machayv mechil hold that you're obligated in two carbons because this is called la'acher melois. It's after the day 80, although you couldn't bring your carbon yet, but it's still after melois. And Mishabbat say, no, you're exempt from the another carbon. And that's because, as they explain, that as we're going to quote in a moment, and that is because you couldn't bring a carbon yet, and therefore we're not including that in la'acher melois. As the Gemara says, Amalem Beisil Beishamai. So Beisil said to Beishamai, what is the difference between the evening of the 81st and the day of the 81st? In other words, you agreed to us that if she didn't miscarry at night, and rather she miscarried the following morning, that she would be liable for a second carbon. And therefore, even if she miscarries in the evening of the 81st day, she should be liable because in halacha, day and night is always the same thing. It's part of the same halachic day. So what should be the difference? Moreover, Basil tells Beishamai, im shiva loy l'tumah, if you equate the 81st by night to the 81st by day regarding the halachas of tumah, that is, they're saying that up until shkia sachama of the 80th day, all her bloods that she has that's coming on that time period are all tahar. And if she sees after shkia, after the sun is setting, after day 80, her bloods will become tummy. And that's the equivalent of what you would compare her for the day of the 81st day. So regarding halachas of tumah, you say the evening of the 81st is the same as the day of the 81st. And therefore, lo yishvu lo l'karbon, so you shouldn't equate them regarding the halachas of the carbon. Why wouldn't they be the same? In other words, just like if she miscarried tomorrow, you would hold that she's liable for a second carbon. So too, if she miscarries in the evening, you'd also have to bring another carbon. Why would they be any different regarding carbon if they're the same regarding tumah, that once day 80 passes, you're right, you couldn't bring a carbon yet, but essentially it's the same thing regarding the halachas, because we find that it's called la'achar melois, just like now the blood's changed, and therefore it should be the same regarding the halachas of requiring another carbon. Now, Bishamai's response is brought there in Masechtas Krisis, that they say no, that the difference is that on the day of the 81st day, that is a time when you were able to, you had the ability to go ahead and bring a carbon, and therefore now it's considered a new time period. That is, once you got to day 81, it's as if you brought your carbon, and then the second birth or miscarriage would not be exempted with that. However, regarding the evening of the 81st day, where there you never came to a time period where the carbon was there, as if it was there in the ability, so therefore, anything that still gets in within that framework, which is even the evening of the 81st day, because you couldn't bring the carbon yet, will be included in that carbon. And that's Beis Shammai's opinion. And there they explain why the Raya of Beisil is not a Raya regarding the bloods. But so that's the machlokes that they have there. But essentially what the Gemara wants to bring from this is, midikamah Beisil Beis Shammai, from the fact that when the statement that Beisil told Beis Shammai is maishna or shemayinim be'echad, miyayim shemayinim be'echad, in other words, what's the difference, they said, between the evening of the 81st day and the day of the 81st day? Just the 81st day is going to be tumah. So too in the evening it's going to be tumah. And therefore, they should share the same halacha regarding carbon, that if the woman miscarries on the day 81st day, you agree that she has to bring a second carbon. So too on the evening of the 81st day. But shemamina ar urtuhu. One thing you do see is that when they use the terminology of ur shemayinim be'echad, that's in contrast to the day of shemayinim be'echad. So obviously, Ur means the reference of evening. The Gemara says, yes, that's another proof that Ur Labasa does not mean the morning, the day, the light of the 81st day. Rather, it's a reference to the evening of the 14th day of Nisan. Just like it over there, it's a reference to the evening of the 81st day and not the day, as it was in contrast to the Yom. So it's another Raya of Ur Labasa. Another Raya, the Gemara says, Maisve, we learned in the Braisa, Yochel Yehei Nechel Ur Lishlishi. I would think that you could still eat the carbon on the evening of the third day. And that is, this pasuk is, this Bryce is discussing the carbon shlamim. It says regarding the shlamim, it says, and b'yom zevchachem ya'ochel, on the day that you slaughtered, you'll eat it. U'mimachres, in the following day. And then it commands us to burn the leftovers of the carbon on the morning of the third day. So that's what the Bryce is talking about, that I would think that when do you burn it on the morning of the third day? That means you could eat it up until that time, which is inclusive of the evening of the third day. And the Bryce says, Vedinu, and it seems that it should be like that, because Zvachim, Necholim L'Yom Echad, there are karbonis that are eaten for one day. For example, a karbon toida, which it says in the Pasuk, B'yom karbon ha'yechel, that on the day that it's brought, that it should be eaten. V'shlamim Necholim M'shnei Yamim, and the karbon shlamim is eaten for 2 days. Now, malahalun laila achayim, just like there by the carbon taida, where the night goes after the day, where there the pasuk says regarding the Karban Torah, lo yinich mimen adbuk, you shouldn't leave it over till the morning, which sounds like, but the whole entire night you could eat it. Similar to the Karban Pesach, where it says, lo sasir mimen adbuk, you should not leave it up until the morning, and that you're allowed to eat it during the night. So therefore, afkan leilachayim. So here also, regarding the Karban Shlamim, regarding the days that it is allowed, which is 2 days, the night should also be included. So therefore, it should be that you could even eat it on the night of the third day. Because again, you're going to burn it on the following morning, and it's just like other Karbanis, which when the day that you're allowed to have it, it includes the night afterwards. Here also, when the Karban Shlamim, which is brought, which can be eaten for 2 days, but the night afterwards, which is the evening of the third day, maybe it sounds like it should also be allowed to be eaten then. Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk in Yikra says, that no. B'yayim zevchachem yo'ochel, then on the day that it's slaughtered, you should eat it. U'memachras, and the following day. And in truth, the Gemara stops in the middle of the Pasuk to make a drasha, but the way the Pasuk really goes is v'hanoyser ad yoyim hashlishi, that what's left over until the third day, be'esh yisarf, will be burnt in the fire. As we said, on the third day, not in the evening, and the third day is going to be burnt. But the drasha is, it stops v'hanoyser ad yoyim, that whatever's left over up until the day, and that is, that drasha is, it could be eaten the following day, during the day, but not in the evening. As the Gemara says, be'oid yoyim hu nechel, that during the day could be eaten, ve'ina nechel or shlisha, but it cannot be eaten to the or of the third day, which, as we're going to prove, obviously means the evening of the third day. But however, that was the thought, that we would think you could eat the Karban Shlamim the evening of the third day. That's what the pasuk comes to say, v'anoyser ad yoyim, whatever left over up until the day, but not including the night afterwards. Then the b'raisa continues, but then yochel yisarf miyad, then I would think that, so you cannot eat after the second day into the evening of the third day. So I would think that you burn it right then on the evening of the third day, early gimel, and v'dinu, it would seem to be like that clearly, because zvachim nechal liyayim b'layla echad, we have karbanis, as we said before, in the karban toid, which are eaten for a day and the following night, v'shlam nechal m'shneyam b'layla echad, and similarly, karban shlam is eaten for 2 days and one night. Now, ma lahal and take of lechil esreva, just like over there by those karbanis, right after the time when you're allowed to eat it, is when the time of when you're supposed to burn it begins, as the pasuk over there says, "Vanoisim minad boiker," whatever's left over from the carbon tide up until the morning, or from the carbon pesach, be'esh tisraifu, you should burn it in the fire. Now that means to say that, as we said before, you're allowed to eat it up until the morning. That's the whole night. But then right away the zman sreifa begins. So afkan, similarly over here regarding when the zman achila ends, which is by the evening of the third day. So then take of lachila sreifa, that right after you can finish eating it, which is by the end of the second day, that's when the beginning of sreifa would begin, and you would burn it at the nighttime. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk in Vayikra has to teach us. V'hanoysim ibsa hazavach b'yoyim hashlisha, whatever's left over from the flesh of the carbon on the third day, be'esh yisarev, you burn it in the fire. Now here it doesn't say ad yoyim like the other pasuk. Rather, here it says bayim, on the day, which, because this pasuk is not talking about the time of when you can eat it, which, although eating, and there is a gap between the time of eating and the burning, here it's talking about the burning, to teach you that the burning is only by the day and not by the nighttime. And that's why you need it, that bayim ata sarfai, on the day is when you burn it, v'yata sarfai b'layla, and you don't burn it by the nighttime. So that's this b'raisa. But the main idea of this was, the proof is, it comes from the fact that it was said that I would think to say, yehi nechel or l'shlishi, that it would be eaten even further into the evening of the third day, just like we learned from Taida that the night follows the day. Here also, the night would follow the day. So, alma or to shmamina. But one thing we do see is that obviously or means a reference to the evening, because in the day can't be or shlishi, because that egg wouldn't be learned that from Taida. And similarly, that's the time when it's actually being burnt. So obviously another rai that Ur Labas of our Mishnah means the evening of the 14th, not the day of the 14th. The Gemara continues with another proof. Tashma, we learned the Braisa. Ur Shal Yom Kippurim. Again, what Ur means, that will prove that it means the evening of Yom Kippurim. Mispal Shevo Mizvadi, you daven, you make 7 brachas in the Shemayna Esrei, and in the Amidah, obviously not 18, but that's by the Amidah, you make 7 brachas, Umizvadi, and you say Vidu, you say confession. Shachris Mispal Shevo Mizvadi, similarly by Shachris, you say 7, and you say Vidu. Bimusav Mispal Shevo Mizvadi, and by Musav, you say 7 brachas, and you say Vidui. B'mincha Mispal Shevo Mizvadi, same thing by Mincha, by Arvis, but then Matzah Yom Kippur, by the evening Tfilah, Mispal Mispal me ain't Shmoneh Esrei. You only daven an abridged version of the Shmoneh Esrei. Whereas Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel loymer Meshem Avosim in the name of his fathers Mispal Shmoneh Esrei Shleimus. Now you say complete 18 brachas of Shmoneh Esrei the way we say it. And they should tzarich lem havdalah b'chayin das, because you have to say havdalah, which is an obligation by the end of Yom Kippurim too, in the bracha of Chayin Das, which you would not have if you would say in the bridge version. You would not have a separate bracha to say havdalah. So therefore, you say complete Shmoneh Esrei. But either way, what you definitely see is Al Ma'ar Urtuhush Mamina. Again, when it says it's, you see it's going, it's starting in the evening, morning, most of going through all the Trilas. Obviously, when it starts with Oishon Yom Kippurim, obviously, again, that's a reference to evening. Again, although generally the word Or means light, but Or means a reference to the evening, and that's why our Mishnah Allah also means the evening of the 14th is when you do Bedikas Chametz. But Toshima, nothing more brings a complete proof, and that's why it's going to reverse the whole Machlokes that we had set up until now. The Tanei Debei Shmuel. That the Bryce, that the yeshiva of Shmuel had the following Bryce. Lele Arba'ah, so the evening, it says clearly the night of the 14th, is Bidkinas HaChametz La'aranez, when you check for the Chametz to the light of the candle, Alma Ar Urtua. Obviously, this halacha, which our Mishnah uses the terminology of Ar, is referenced Lele to the evening and not to the morning. So the Gemara says, Ella, what you have to say is, and this, because this is a clear proof that, and all the proofs we have up until now, that Bein Rav Huna, Bein Rav Yehuda, that in truth is both of them hold the Kula Alma or Urtu. Everyone agrees that Ur La Ba'asar, when it says in our Mishnah, it means the evening. V'lay Pliki, they weren't arguing. But Marki Asrei or Marki Asrei, each one was saying a terminology, the vernacular that's used in their location. And that is Ba'asid Rav Huna, Kar, in the place of Rav Huna, they called night Nigi. They called it light. It was a delicate term that they used. Instead of calling something a darkness, a night, they would call it light. Or Ba'asid Rav Yehuda Kar Leili, in the place of Yehuda, they would call it Layla, that type of term, nighttime. And therefore, the Machlokes was not in regards to Halacha. Of course, everyone agrees it was night. Question is, what is the term? And they each gave the definition of the place where they would give it, of what they would call nighttime. But then the Gemara answered, Tanda Didan, my time like a Tani Leili. Why did our Tanda not use, which we find in the Brisa of that we just quoted before, that they used the term clearly, which told us what it was, that it was Leili. Why over here did we use the terminology of Ur? And that the Gemara says that Lishnim al Yehudinaka. The Tanda of Mishnah wanted to use a more finer terminology. Ukhdebishu ben Levi, like Yabishu ben Levi, tells us that those with purity of thought, they talk in more pure pure language. The Amir B'Shem Levi, said, "La'olam ayitzi adam devar maguna mipiv." A person should never express a distasteful, a disgraceful thing from his mouth. Now, as Rashi explains, it's not because saying Laila, nighttime, is such a davar maguna, and Rabbi Shu Ben Levi's statement was said in general. However, what we do learn from his statement is that we try to say the most refined and pure type of phraseology as possible. And Ur is definitely more light, is definitely more naki than saying Laila. As the Gemara says, that where do we find that you shouldn't be Maitzi Devar Maguna? Shari Ikim Akosav Shemayna Isis, because the Torah, the Pasuk, changed, adding 8 extra letters in the Torah, V'lohetzi Devar Maguna Mepiv. And not to have this expression of something that's not totally tasteful and proper. And where do we find this? Shanem, like I said, the Pasuk in Bereishis regarding the teva of Noach, what type of animals should be brought in? It says min habehema hatayra, from the kosher animals, u min habehema asher enenu tayra, and from the animals that are not kosher. Now, the truth is, it could have just said habehema hatameya, the way it normally says. And instead of that, he ended up adding, the Torah ended up adding 8 extra letters, because the word hatmei, which it should have said, is 5 letters, and asher einena tahira, instead of saying the impure one, it says the one that's not pure, the one that's not kosher, that's 13 letters. Therefore, you have an excess of these 8 letters from the discrepancy of the 13 and the 5. Now, Rashi explains, although, as the Gemara on Amud Beis will address, of course it says many times the Torah tamei, but here it changed in one place to teach you this concept that if you can, it's better to say it in a pure way than an impure way, and it even added on all these extra letters, these 8 letters, and not to be mitzi v'loy hoitzi dav magun b'fiv, and it didn't express it in an improper way. Which, if it could say it in more proper terminology, it goes ahead and does that. Rav Papa says that we find even more that the Torah went and changed a way something is normally said and added on 9 extra letters. Shnayim, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim, ki yivacha, that if it will be amongst you, the Jewish people, isha shelo yiyatar, a man that will not be pure. Mikra Elayah, that we have an omission at nighttime. Now, truth is, it should have just said, ishtame, an impure man. And that would have been 3 letters. And instead, we use this longer terminology of ish ashaloy yetar, which are 12 letters. And as we're going to find the other man, the amma, even if we would say the word tahar, which is what the pasuk over there says, ish ashaloy yetar, if we used it without like a chaser vav, tahar meaning tes hey reish, there is going to be a discrepancy of 9 letters. So we see that the Torah added on an extra, of 9 extra letters instead of saying clearly tamei. Ravina says, no, we find it was even 10 letters because Vav Ditar. In other words, he says, which the Pasuk over there is not written Chaser, it says Tar with a Vav, so essentially it's 10 extra letters that we're adding on. Ravacha B'Yakov HaMashesh Esrei, we find 16 letters that the Torah adds on. We know the Torah, every letter is so important. Add on 16 letters to teach us this lesson, to not use terminology that's not clean, that's coarse. You want to use things that are totally proper. Now, like it says, a Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, where Shaul, when he was asked regarding what David was missing, so he responded, Kiyama, because he said, Mikrehu, that it was a happening, and these are the extra words, Bilti Taharhu, that he's not pure, Kiloitar, because he has not purified himself. Now, he could have just said, Tame, that he's impure. And instead, he ended up changing and saying these extra letters, which the discrepancy is going to be a discrepancy of 16 letters. So that's what the Gemara is pointing out. That's how far the Torah would go in the way you express something to say it in the proper way. So that's again the measurements that we find, 8, 9, 10, and even 16 letters. So on this topic, the Gemara says, Tanya de Rabbi Shmuel. So the Brayso of Rabbi Shmuel was learned, La'olam yisapa adam lashon nekiyah. A person should always talk in the proper way. Shari Bezav, because we find by the Zav, who has a distinct type of an emission that comes out from his body, which makes him richly impure. Kari Merkav. Now there's a halacha called Merkav Amosha, which when a zava sits on the object, it actually conveys that same tumma to the object that they're sitting on. That could convey that tumma to other people, other things. Now regarding the zav, who's a male, Kari Merkav, the object that he's sitting on, how do they define that? As something that he rides on. As the Pasuk of Yirkut HaZav says, V'chala Merkav Asher Yirkav, whatever he will ride on. U'bi'isha, it's also talking about what she's sitting on, but Kari Meishav, it calls something that she sits on, not rides on. It says over there, Oyha Allah Kliya Shehi Yosheves, or on the vessel that she is sitting on. And the reason for this is because it's not proper to mention Rechiva, riding, regarding a woman. Because when you ride, you have to separate your legs on either side of the animal. Now, although regarding the halacha of Merkav Meishav, the same thing applies to Zav and Zava, to the male and the female, but the Torah did not use that improper terminology regarding the woman. For her, it used Meishav, and for him, it said Merkav. Again, teaching us this lesson that a person should always be Mesapa B'Losh Nekiyah. Moreover, Va'emet says a pasuk in Eiv, that Eiv's friends told him, V'tivcha L'Shen Arim, you should choose the terminology, the vernacular of the wise, and that's something that's incumbent upon you to do. V'yomer, and another proof of this concept, a different pasuk in Eiv is, V'das sefasai, and the knowledge of my lips, bar milelu, they clarify the words that they speak. In other words, bar is a word of like mavur, which is refined, which that is what bar is selecting, but it's refining, but also we know in terminology, such a concept of refined language. So that's what the third pasuk teaches us. So the Gemara asks, my va'ima, why do we need these extra psukim? We already learned it out from the difference between Erkev and Meishav. Why do we have to add in these 2 psukim of Ativcha, Lashana, Rum, and Medasa, Pasei Bar? On that, the Gemara says, I would have thought to say that the impropriety of saying things that are not so clear, so pure, is by the Torah. The Torah is very makbid. These are the words that came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where the Torah is written from. That's where you have to say B'lash Nekiah B'der Abanam. But regarding the terminology of the Chacham and the Mishnais and the Braises, their loy, that we wouldn't have to be so particular about exactly how they say it. You know, you say it as it is. You have to express things. You can use terms as Tomei and whatnot. Tashema, that's what the other pasuk was saying. Va'omer, it says v'tivcha l'shoyin arumim, that you should choose the language of the wise. That, in other words, that we hear that the arumim, which means the wise ones, that they choose their language. That we find that no, even in the Mishnais and the Brises, it should be proper language as much as it could be. And then, b'chitei mehanu mil drabanan, so I would think to say, okay, the rabbis and mishnayis, these are still teresh bal peh, they should say with lashon nekiyah. But if someone's just talking, it doesn't make a difference what words you use, even though that it's a little bit coarse. That's what the pasuk says, a different one, v'das safasai, that the wisdom of my lips, which sounds like regular people, that lips that they're just talking, is bir malelu, they should be choosing the words that they speak. Again, that it should be refined speech, even in just regular discourse that people have in their daily life. Now the Gemara asks on the Braisa. We said regarding a woman that the Torah Davka says a lashon of Moshev, sitting, not Merkav, riding, because that would imply this separation of the legs, which is it's not a purely a clean topic. So the Gemara asks, Ubi Yishol Iksiba Merkav, is it really true that regarding a woman that doesn't say that a term of riding, which give us this image of this idea? But Iksiba, it says in the pasuk in Bereishis, Vatakam Rivka Benarasa, that Rivka and her maidens got up, Vatakav Nalgmalam, and they rode on the camel. So we see clearly that it does say in the Torah a term of rechev, of riding regarding women. And then the Gemara says, no. They're because of the fear of the camels, that they're very high up and they're afraid they're going to fall. Urchuhi. That is normal for a woman to do, to ride over there, because she has to hold on very tight with her legs and her hands. And therefore, that is proper in that situation for her to be riding normal with the legs spread out like that, in spite of the fact of the idea that's being conveyed. But regarding a regular animal that's not so scary as a camel, there she should be riding sideways. In other words, to have her legs on both of them on one side. And therefore, we don't describe it as rechev, because that would, again, give that other image. And that's not one that's proper regarding women. But in this case, it is proper because it is something that's fearful. And therefore, it's normal. And therefore, the Torah would even say it regarding a woman. But again, the Gemara continues to ask on this idea. But we learned in the pasuk in Shemais. And it says, V'yikach Meshach ishtav ezbanav. Meshach took his wife and his children, V'yikiv ha'malachamar, and he rode them on the donkey. Now here, that you don't have the answer we gave before regarding a camel. So why does it say rechev regarding his wife, which is a woman? That's not proper. And then the Gemara says hasam, because over there we continue to Amud Beis mishum banav. It's because of his sons, who they were males. Urchuhu, for them it's normal to use the term of rechev. It was in reference to them that the term rechev. But if it had only been speaking about his wife, it would not have used the term rechev. It possibly would use the term of yeshiv, of sitting. But then the Gemara continued to ask. We have another pasuk. Like say we have a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says regarding Abigail. It says v'hi recheves alachamai, that she was riding on the donkey. What's the pshat over there? There you can't say that it was a camel, and you can't say that there was anyone else. And I think Moshe gives three answers. Hasa mishim bi isusa delelia urchuhu. There, because of the fear of the night, which is when she was riding, it is normal to ride like that. So although properly, it should usually be done on the side, but here at nighttime, it is normal for a woman to ride like that, and therefore it's proper to ride that. V'ibayisem, another answer is mishim bi isusa delelia leka. You're right. Regarding the nighttime, that type of fear is not enough of a reason to ride the normal way like a male would be. And therefore, we would not write Rechav. But Mishim B'Yisusa de Davidik, it's her fear because she was going to David HaMelech. She was so afraid of that. For that, she had to hold on tight. That's why it was normal for her to ride the normal way. V'Yisema, or the third answer is B'Yisusa de David Namelech. No, because of the fear of David, that wouldn't be enough of a reason for her to be riding that way. And rather, Mishim B'Yisusa de Harik, it's because she was coming down a mountain, which that is frightening to ride. Therefore, it was normal for her to ride the way a male does, and that's why these are the three different terutzim that although it's usually not proper to ride, but in certain circumstances, it is proper for a woman to be like that. And then we would write the term of rechev. But now the Gemara goes back to the main concept, which we said, look how far the Torah went. 8, 9, 10, 16 letters changing in the Torah what a letter means because of using, we don't want to be mitzvah dove and megunah b'piv. So therefore, we'll say, that's not pure instead of saying impure. But the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Look throughout the Torah. The Torah doesn't use the word of tamay, of impure. You're saying that it changed, asher einenu tahir. But we find throughout the Torah that it does say that. So what does it mean you shouldn't be made to devour maguna bepiv? So the Gemara says, no, elo kol heicha dechi hadadininu. When all things considered, they would be equal, that it wouldn't be a longer terminology to say the pure way than the impure way, then mishtar b'losh nekiyah. Then you're going to use the pure, you'll use a more honorable type of a terminology. But wherever that there are more words to be used, if you're going to use the pure way than the impure way, then you'll still use the shortened version. And that is, you will say tami, like the Torah says throughout. We're not saying ashenen, Torah, adding on words if it's not necessary. Now, Rashi addresses, although we just brought the Raya on Amud Aleph, where we did change, we add on 8, 9, 10, 16 letters, That's a one-time thing to teach you this concept that you should try to use a Lashon Naki. But all the other places where it used, quote-unquote, Lashon Meguna, that, and it used the abridged version, is because a person should always teach his students, and normally the way he converses is with an abridged version. As the Gemara says, Kadam Rav Huna Marav, and for Amrilan, some say Amrav Huna Marav Mishim Rav Meir, La'oilam Yishana Adam L'tamid Ederchta. A person should always teach his student in as short and clear and concise as possible. And the reason is because then what he learns will be maintained by him more than if it was long and lengthy and winded and he's not going to remember it. That's why the Torah uses those Lashon Katsar, so that we can recall it and remember it. However, the idea is if they're equal, then you use the Lashon Naki. If the Lashon Naki is going to be much longer, then you use Lashon Katsar. And that place which we brought on the Manav where it says a Lashon Naki, even if it's going to be longer, that was teaching you the concept of that. But again, if it's not going to be equal, then you're going to use Lashon Katsar, even if it's Tamei, as we find throughout the Torah. But the Gemara asks on this. Is it really true that if all things considered they're equal, the same amount of letters, then you use the more honorable term? But we find by that pasuk by Abigail, where Recheves and Yeshevis are the same amount of letters, become Recheves, and yet when we're referencing what Abigail had done, we use the term Recheves. It could have just as easily used Yeshevis. So why do we use Recheves? If all things considered equal, you use the more honorable, the more clean terminology. Another thing where it says, no, they weren't equal letterings, because Recheves Ksiv, the way it's written over there in the Pasuk, is it's missing a letter over there. And therefore, it's less letters than Yeshevis. Now, as Rashi says, although technically speaking, the Torah could have written Yeshevis also with missing a letter, and then again, they would have been the same amount of letters, so then use the Lashon Naki. And then Rashi says, no, because you're right. All Chaseris v'Yeseris, all when there's letters missing or added on the Torah, they're there for a specific purpose, to make a drasha that we should learn something from it. What do we learn from the fact that here it says Recheves, missing a letter, teaches us that that's why we're saying this term, even though it's not the Lashon Naki, but because it is Katsari, it's shorter, although it's Meguna, although it's not as proper as Yesheves, we said it because it's Katsari, again, to teach us that lesson that we said, Lo'ilu Mishan Odom Tamin Derech Katsari, you should always say the bridged version. Even here, it's the same exact word, and it's just missing a letter, but that enough is shorter to even say that, even though you could have said a more Lashon Naki of Yesheves. So the Gemara brings a few illustrations of this concept of that a person should really be refined in his speech. There were these two students, they were sitting in front of Rav. Chadama once said, that this teaching, this like shir you just gave us, made us kedvar acha mesankan, like a davar acha that's tired. And davar acha is a reference to a swine. He didn't want to say that, but he said a reference to the swine. He said, whoa, that really wore us out. The other one said that, oh, that teaching that you gave us wore us out like a tired out kid goat. Now, v'lo yishtoi Rav b'hadi d'hayich. Rav did not speak then to the one that he referenced to say when we made a so they both said how tired they got out, and they both used animals. But one used the swine and one used the kid goat. The one that said the swine, he didn't talk to show that even though he was using even a euphemism for that, he said davar acher, another thing which was referenced to that, he didn't speak to him because he could have used a kosher animal, and that's why he didn't speak to him. Similarly, the Gemara says, Hanu Tri Tamidid Hava Yesri Kamei the Hill. There were two students, they were sitting in front of the hill, and one of them was Rabbi Yechim Zakeh. Some say a different version that was Kamei the Rebbe, was in front of the Rebbe. And one of them was Rabbi Yechim. Chadama once said, they were asking regarding a certain halacha. One of the students said, why is it that we harvest grapes in purity and that we use pure kalim that are not tamei, whereas ve'ein maiskin, but we don't harvest olives, b'tahara, in purity? And that is, as the Gemara there explains in Masechta Shabbos, that the reason for that discrepancy is because we don't consider the juice that comes out from the olives as a valid liquid to be machsher the olives in tumah, because it's not complete oil, and it's only when it comes out through the pressing house that we consider it a mashke that would then be machsher, and therefore we don't have to do b'tahara because it's not going to make it tummy anyway. But regarding wine that drips out on the grapes, that is machsher, it does prepare it because you want that juice that's dripping on, they were considered a mashke, and that's the difference. But this was the question they were asking, what is the difference between the two of them? So one of them used the term of, why do we harvest the grapes in purity, yet we do not harvest the olives in purity? The Chadam and another one said, similar but different. Why do we harvest the grapes in purity? And we harvest the olives in impurity. Amar, so he said, the teacher, the Rebbe said, I'm confident regarding the first one, that Shemayr HaRabbi saw that he will be teaching halachas to Klal Yisrael, and there wasn't a long time after that that student started giving hayras, started teaching Klal Yisrael as a leader. And the difference is because one said that the harvesting of the olives is not betahara, and the other one said it's betumah. Saying betumah, what do you have to say betumah for? And that's again showing how refined a person's speech should be. Similarly, the Gemara says, Hanu tlasi kahana. There was these three kahanim that they were splitting their portions in the lechem upon them on Shabbos. Chadam, who one said to the others, Higiini kapul, I got a size of bread, the size of a bean. That's how much I got from the lechem upon them. V'chadam, higiani kizayis. Another one said, I got the size of a zayis, of an olive. V'chadam, another one said, Higiani kizanav halta. The way he described his piece of bread, I got a piece the size of a lizard's tail. Now, lizard's tail is an interesting way of describing it. So, Badku Achav, they checked after him. And again, because of the language that was not refined that he was using, Umatzabai Shemetz Psul, and they find regarding him a trace of invalidation regarding his lineage of Kuhuna, that he was a Chal, which is not a kosher kind on some level because of the marriage of his parents. So the question is, so again, we're seeing the concept over here, again, about impure terminology, but the Gemara asks, on the story, but now we learn the Mishnah Maseches Kedushin. Ein Beitkin, we do not check, again, regarding Yichus lineage, if regarding for a kohen to marry a woman, min hamizbeach ulamala. Generally, we check the lineage to see if the person's from pure lineage. But regarding a kohen, we don't check his lineage if he's someone that serves on the mizbeach and higher up. And that is, we don't have to check above him to see regarding his lineage if he's already doing the avodah on the mizbeach, because if he wasn't roe for the kohuna, they wouldn't let him go ahead and serve on the Mizbeach. As the Mishnah Masechet Midah says, that by the Lishkas Hagazas, which was one of the chambers over there in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Bezdin would sit over there, which would define the Yichus of the Kahanim and Levim, and any kind that wanted to do the Avodah, but they found that he was invalid. So he would put on black clothing and he would leave. So therefore, it was already verified and clarified beforehand. So how do you understand the story that he's eating from the Lechem upon him? Obviously, he's doing the Avodah, that they went ahead and checked and found the Shemetz Psul. We don't check, even for marriage, if he's doing the Avodah. I think the Gemara gives two answers. Either Loitem Hashemetz Psul, you're right, they didn't find an invalidation of a flaw and that is regarding his lineage, not Shemetz, Eleim Hashachatz Psul, rather an invalidation of Gaiva, of hoardiness. And that is, he himself was a hoardy person and he was disgraceful, as we see the terminology he used towards the Lechem upon him, of Kachi Shemayim. And therefore, that's the reason why he wasn't fit to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara Maseches Kedushin says, in Daf Yud Ches, that this is an Avodah that's given over to the Bnei Aharon. And that is a Kohen that doesn't agree to all the Bnei Aharon, even to the lowest ones of them, he has no Chelik in the Kohen. In other words, there's certain standards that we require of the Kohanim. And talking like that, and we found that he was the type of person that was disgraceful to Kachi Shemayim, that was an invalidating factor. But you're right, we didn't check regarding his lineage, because we don't check for someone that's already doing the Avodah Mizbeach. But V'ibay Seima, the other test the Gemara says, is no, they did check. Shani Hasim, there it's different. The Ihu Da'ara Nafshe. He went, and so to speak, with the words that he used, he made what's called a reyes on him. He put a question marker on his head. And we required to check because he revealed the way he spoke that obviously we didn't check so well. You're right. Usually we don't because we rely on the checking of the Bezdin and the Lishkas Hagazas. But the way he spoke, they said, no, there has to be something here. You're right. Mistakes happened and they checked and they found that he was a Kain Psul and that he was a Chal. He was invalid to do that by them. So now related to this, that how a person speaks can go ahead and be his own undoing because he's speaking something improperly. And then they've go ahead and check, and they find that it's something wrong. So the Gemara brings a similar story. Hahu Arma, there was this Arminian that have a solik v'ochel psachim b'Yerushalayim. He would go up, and he would eat from the Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim. And Arma, he said, look at this, it's such a joke. See, it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, kol ben necher lo yechabai. No stranger is allowed to eat from this. I'm a non-Jew. I'm not allowed to eat from it. And moreover, it says, kol arul lo yechabai, even a Jew, which arul could also be referenced to non-Jew if he's uncircumcised, he also can't eat from it. Not only do I eat from it, I eat from the best of the best. I get the best pieces of meat from the Karban Pesach. What a joke. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Zera, Rabbi Yehuda ben Zera said to him, Mikos safalach me'alya? Do they give you from the fatty tail? In other words, do you think they give you the best? Do they give you from the fatty tail? They don't give you. They give you from the shracha pieces of it. What his intention was, he wanted to entrap him. That when he's going to go and he's going to ask them for the tail, which as the Gemara will demonstrate, that tail is not available for any commoner person to eat. And Rabbi Yehuda would say he didn't have the ability to kill this guy who was deserving of death for what he did, but he wanted to entrap him. So he said, do they give you from the fatty tail? I'm like, lo. He says, no. So he said to him, Kisalak lasim, when you go up, the Emelu tell them, Savali Malia, give me from the fatty tail. What do you mean? I deserve the best of the best. So Kisalak, when they went up to Yerushalayim, Amlo, he said to them, Me'al Yusafali, give me from the fatty tail. I pay good money. And now that carbon was a kevis. It was a sheep. And the alia, the fatty tail, is brought as a carbon to the mizbech, and it's not available for someone to eat, as the pasuk says in Yikra Gimel, ha'alia tamima, that the complete tail is brought up to the mizbech. So he's asking for the fatty tail. Amrulay, they said to him, what do you mean? Alia ligavoya salka. What do you mean? We can't give you the fatty tail. It's brought up on the mizbech. So Amrulay, they said to him, wait a second. Mat namalachachi, who told you this? Like, why do you suddenly this year request us the fatty tail? Amlu, he said to them, what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? He told me that you're not giving me what I deserve to get. You know, you're giving me from the not such great pieces. I paid just as good money as the rest of you. So Amr, they said, my Heidi Kaman, what is this story? They started smelling something here. What's the shot that he told them this? And so Badku Basra, they checked after this person, and they found out that he's an Aramean by Kutlu, and they killed him. So Sholchalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, they sent back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Shalom lach Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, peace unto you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. The ad ben Netzivin, you're sitting in the Netzivin, umitzidascha prus to Yerushalayim, and your net is spread out in Yerushalayim, you were able to do something that affected what we do over here in Yerushalayim. And as Rashi says, the reason why the Gemara brought this story is to show these two stories that someone's own actions cause that they should check after him and the consequences that come out of that from the person's own undoing, the way he speaks. So now the Gemara goes back to this idea about, again, using Lashon Nakeh, about using as much refined speech as possible. Rav Kahana Chalash, Rav Kahana became weak. Shadru Rabban Rabbi Shua b'Rei Rav Idi, so the Rabbanan sent Rabbi Shua, the son of Rav Idi. Amrulay, they said to him, Zil Baduk Maidine, go check how he's doing. You know, he's not feeling well. Let's check up on him. Asa Ashkechid Nach Nafshe. He came and he saw that he was already dead. He passed away. Kar Lulvushe, so he raised Kriya, he tore his garment. But Vahadri Likar Lachay. But then he took his shirt where you tear it in the front and he turned it around towards the back. That is, when he comes to the other Tamil Chum, they shouldn't chop right away and suddenly faint because they see that he died. Because just seeing that tear, they're like, oh my gosh, he died. Ubachi Vasi, but he came in crying. Amrulay, they said to him, Nach Nafshe? Because he's crying, did he pass away? Amalhu, he said to them, Anokla Kamina, I didn't say anything that he passed away. As the Pasuk initially says, Umaitzi Diba, someone that expresses bad tidings, Huxil, he's a fool. I'm not going to tell you that he died. That would be considered foolish. And therefore, again, showing how careful a person should be with a speech, even things that are, so to speak, Naki, you shouldn't say. You should be very careful what the words that you use, when you use, how you use it. And that's why he, even with his actions, he didn't. He even turned it behind his back, even in a nonverbal manner. Similarly, the Gemara brings Yochanan Chakuka, that was his nickname, Nafuk Likriyasa. He went out to the villages to see regarding his crops. So Kiyasa, when he came back home, Amrle, they said to him, Chit Nasiyafas, so did the wheat crop come out very good? Amlehem, Soyrim Nasiyafas, the barley crop came out very good. Now, from his word, you could infer that the wheat obviously did not come out good, but he didn't want to say a Dvar Kalala, he didn't want to say like a negative term. He didn't want to have to say, again, this is included in the Lashon Nakeh. So Amrulay, they said to him, okay, you're telling us the barley crop came out good. Go ahead and tell this news to the horses and to the donkeys. So like it says in the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, Hasa'irim Hateven, that the barley and the straw is lesusim l'rechesh, is to the horses and the rechesh. In other words, go tell the animals. What are you telling us? That the barley came out good. We don't care about barley. We are humans. We eat wheat. We're not interested in barley. Then the Gemara asked, "My Havli Lemer, what should he have said?" Like they retorted to him as if in a negative way. Like, why he's telling? He didn't want to say that it came out bad. So what was wrong with the way he said it? That they said, "Go tell the animals." Why are you telling us about the barley? So the Gemara gives two things that he could have said better. He could have said, "Ishtakid nasuchid nyafas." Oh, last year the last crop came out good. So then they would have understood that this time not, and it wouldn't have been saying about barley because we're not animals, not eating the barley. Inami, another approach is adashim nasiyafas. He could have said, not barley, he could have said the lentils came out good, which that is food that's normally eaten by humans, instead of saying barley, which is more of an animal type of food. And therefore, again, the Gemara shows how delicate and how refined a person's speech should be.